Let's open our Bibles together, please. We read in the book of Jeremiah, the chapter number 3. Third chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word together, please. Jeremiah chapter number 3. And because of time, we're going to break in there at the verse number 12. Jeremiah 3 and the verse number 12. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word together. Grow and proclaim these words toward the south and say, Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall they or that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, How shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, Thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even until this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to handle thy word. I pray in Jesus' name that thou will help me to preach it. O God, I pray that thou will give me not only the strength and grace to preach it, but O God, give me the blessed fluency of the Spirit of God. And this day I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou will apply the word with power to each and every willing heart. And to this end, O God, I trust thee now for power. For thine it cannot fail. For the words that thou this day shall give me shall and must prevail. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Verse number 22 in chapter 3 of the book of Jeremiah. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. There are many pictures of life's journey in the Word of God. One of those pictures, indeed, is life on earth is a pilgrimage. We commenced a pilgrimage at our birth, and we'll conclude our pilgrimage at the day of our death. I was thinking about that pilgrimage, and then in a spiritual sense, so is the Christian pathway. But you know, as the old man in the Scriptures looked at his life, turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 47. Genesis 47, or we speak of Joseph rather, and he presents his father Jacob to Pharaoh. The old man is presented to Pharaoh. And if you turn in Genesis chapter 47, in verse number 7, it says this, "And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh." And you'll notice there the old man Jacob, as he speaks to Pharaoh the king, he refers to his life as a pilgrimage. And then he also referred to his father's life. It says, my father's. And he's speaking there about Abraham and about Isaac. And once again, the reference that he makes. He says, the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. You know, the characteristic that is given, therefore, of life is, it's a pilgrimage. And what does a pilgrim mean? A pilgrim means we are not permanent residents here. In other words, we're just passing through. And friends, as far as your life and mine is concerned, we are not permanent residents here. We think of the words of the hymn writer, life at best, it's very brief. And so we're just pilgrims. We're not here forever. If you turn over to the great chapter of faith, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And once again, in that great chapter of faith that gives us the great men and the great women of God, the hall of fame of faith. And I want you to notice something about their confession that they make in verse number 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. "These all died," the Holy Ghost says, "in faith, not having received the promise, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them." Then mark this. "And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." They were strangers and pilgrims. Here was a confession that these great men and women of God of faith made, that they were pilgrims on this earth. Verse number 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." This world, not our home. We're seeking another country. And thank God that's true for the child of God. Because the child of God has values and has interests that this world can never satisfy. If you go back to verse number 10, it says there concerning Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundation. He was looking for something. He was only a pilgrim. Abram was one of the richest men. And yet, my friend, he was a man that dwelt in a tent because he believed this and he confessed this with all his heart. That he was only a stranger. He was only a pilgrim in this world. He wasn't here forever. He had values that this world would never satisfy. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. Go down to verse number 15 of the same chapter and 16. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. They desire a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so we find that whenever Jacob is away back there in the book of, Jacob is speaking to Pharaoh in the 47th chapter of the book of Genesis, he refers to his life as a pilgrimage. But notice how he refers to it as in verse number 9. He says, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. First of all, he says they're few. And he's speaking there about the brevity of it. And brethren and sisters, especially in the Lord this morning, realize that this life in this old earth of ours, it's only a wee brief stay. We're not here forever. We're pilgrims. We're strangers in a foreign land. We're simply passing through. We're looking for an heavenly city. The psalmist in the Psalm 39 asked God, he says, God, would you teach me and tell me and show me how frail I am and how short my time is. Life at best is very brief. And so he's speaking here about how few his days. Now, you and I would say, well, listen, what age was he when he said this? He was 130. He lived until he was 147 when the Lord took Jacob home. And you say, well, that's not few. But friend, let me tell you this. I believe that he was wise when he said that. He acknowledged his pilgrimage in this world was few. Because when you measure 130 or 147 years in the light of eternity, sure, it's only a blink. It's only a blink. When you think about the endlessness of God's eternity, life, it's few, says Jacob. God has given me 130 years, but he says it's few. It's the days of my years. Notice how he puts it, the days of my years. But realize it was just like days. Teach me to number, said the old man of the scriptures, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Too short the days of our lives are, friend. Too short to waste. Young person, I say to you in God's name, you've only got few days in this old world. I don't know how short they will be. But I know this for one thing for certain. That life is very brief and your life is too short to waste. He was summing up his life there in verse number 9. He says this, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life been. You say, why did he say that? Why did he say not only there were few, but he said there were evil? Because friend, let me tell you, look back at the life of Jacob, and Jacob suffered much in his life. He suffered much. He had many problems. He had many difficulties. He had many afflictions. He had many trials in his life. The old man Jacob, looking back over his life, he said, yes, they're short, even at their longest, measuring it in the light of eternity. But he said, evil were my days. In other words, he's looking back and he said, I've suffered much in those days. And that was true. Do you remember Jacob as a young man? He had to flee from home. Do you remember whenever he went to the father-in-law in a strange land, he was deceived. He was received deceptively. He encountered the hostility of his brother. Remember Esau? For Esau desired to kill him. He was a man that was grieved because of the defilement of his daughter Dinah. And there's a story there, my friend, of the defilement of one of his children. He was grieved also because, and suffered much because of his two sons, Simeon and Levi, and the murder that they had committed. And then you will remember how that he was told by his sons that Joseph was dead. And he was a broken-hearted man because he believed that his son was dead, that he would never see his son Joseph again. He thought he had lost a son for good. My friend, there was something else about Jacob's life. Notice this. Jacob suffered much in his life. But the reality was this, he was suffering as a result of his own evil deeds in his youth. He was reaping his own harvest. And what he had done in his youth had cast a shadow over his whole life. And the later sorrows that were coming in his life, my friend, he was reaping the fruits of his earlier days. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, the Bible says. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He saw his life as a pilgrimage. He was on a journey, and so are you and I. Dear unsaved person, this world is not your home either. You're on a journey, my friend. You're on a journey through time. And you're headed out to God's eternity. And dear unsaved person, you're headed out to a Christless eternity, an endless and lost hell forever. What an awful tragedy to waste your life. But I'll tell you, my friend, what an awful thing to waste your soul and to lose your soul. To lose your wealth, it's sad indeed. To lose your health is more. But to lose your soul is such a loss that no man can restore. I want to talk to you, child of God, this morning, you who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your life's a pilgrimage too, just as Jacob said. Ah, the days of my years of this pilgrimage. You're on a pilgrimage. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, it tells me in 1 Peter chapter 2, in the verse number 11, 1 Peter 2, 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Isn't that what the great chapter of faith said they were? They were just strangers and pilgrims. And he says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which you are against your soul. The spiritual journey you're on, friend, is a spiritual pilgrimage. And it started at the day of your new birth, when you were born again as the Spirit of God. And that pilgrimage will conclude whenever God promotes you to glory, when God takes you home. But I want to talk about something that happens in between. Something, my friend, that people have got to admit, honestly, has happened in many a life during the pilgrimage of the believer. There are times God's people digress. There are times when God's people walk in bypath meadows. There are times when God's people turn aside instead of pressing on with God. They turn aside. They lose the joy of their salvation. They lose the fellowship with God that once they had. And they lose out with God. And if you listen even to the testimonies of the most spiritual of men in their lives... in the family of God, there has been times when their hearts have grown cold. There are times whenever they have digressed in bypath meadows. There are times that we have wandered away from God. There are times when your love for the things of God, friend, has grown cold. And you started to look again to the world. You don't love the prayer meeting you used to love. You don't love the fellowship that you used to love among the family of God. You've turned aside. There's a word for that in the Bible, friend. It's backslidden. It's backslidden. And a person who turns aside and before God has got to admit and be honest that they're losing out with God and the fellowship among the people of God, and you're grown cold in your heart. You're backslidden. We had some meetings this past 2 weeks with Mr. Irwin. It was going on with God. And I ask you an honest question this morning. Friend, is that you? Are you really going on with God? Going through with God? Thy vows to pay, thine all upon the altar lay, and the Holy Ghost will do the rest. And give to thee God's very best. And in those meetings that we held, friend, God's servant exhorted the people of God in those 2 weeks. And God's servant nightly brought us to the place where if we meant to go on with God, there were things that were essential in our lives. Face to face with God, filled with the power of God, on our knees before God, sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary, listening to the Lord, taking time out for God, not for the world, but for God. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, honestly before Him, am I going on with God? Are you progressing? Can you honestly say this morning, listen, I am progressing in my Christian life. The Lord has taken me further along the way of my Christian experience. Because, friend, let me tell you this, you don't stand still. You're either going on with God, you're either progressing, you're either taking ground for God, friend, or you're slipping back. And if you're slipping back, friend, that's backsliding. A lot of people don't want to admit it. But they're backslidden. They're backslidden. And friend, that's a solemn place to be. And I tell you, it's a serious place to be because Jacob in his life proved that God had to deal with him. And we read this morning, "Return unto me, O backsliding children." And is God saying that to you this morning? You're a backslidden child. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, the Spirit of God is writing to the churches, and in the writing in there in chapter 2, it says this, unto the church of the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. Verse 2, I know thy works. Let me tell you, God knows all about you. And God knows all about me, friend. And let me tell you this, we can put on a good show at times. But God says, I know thy works. I know them. You don't fool me, says God. He says, I know them. And he says, I know thy labors and I know thy patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And thou hast found them liars and hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, he said this, I have somewhat against thee. He says, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. Do you remember the next morning you rose after you got saved, friend, and God filled you with the assurance of your salvation and the joy of your salvation? It was such a thrill. What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet the memory still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill. And friend, be honest before God. Are they just a memory? Is that just a memory? God says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. It was a very personal challenge. And friend, you and I must be honest before God. God could be saying to us this morning, we have left our first love. And you know, whenever we've been looking at personal evangelism, And we've been talking about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. But remember, out there, they're not only lost people, but there are people who are lonely. Because they've lost the joy of their salvation. They haven't lost their soul. They've lost out with God. They are backslidden. And I believe that not only do we need to be taught in the Scriptures, how do we speak to a lost sinner? How do we reach a person who has been lost and are lost in their sin? But how do we reach somebody who has lost the joy and the assurance and the fellowship with God? They've lost out with God. How do we deal with a backslider? And how do we seek in God's name to lead them back to the place of fellowship, to the place of joy, and exhort them in the name of the Lord Jesus? Return unto me, says the Lord, O thou backslidden children. But how do we deal with them? Because I honestly believe before God, friend, a real backslider is a miserable person. Is a miserable person. You can't have tasted the joy and the peace of knowing your sins forgiven and then have lost that, the joy and the peace and the knowledge of sins forgiven. And walk in bypath meadows. You can't have fellowship with God, the God of glory, the God who has created you and be indwelt by the Spirit of God and know what it is to walk with Him and to talk with Him and to have fellowship with Him and then to lose out with Him. To walk in the bypath meadows. You can't be a happy person. Because the way of the transgressor, the Bible says, it's hard. It's a hard path. And maybe there's someone sitting in God's house this morning and you say, preacher, you know you're talking to me because before God, I put on a good face, but deep in my heart, I know I'm backslidden. Tell me, is there a way back? Praise God, there is. Thank God, there is. You see, the word backslider is not a New Testament word. In fact, it occurs once. Backslider occurs once in the Bible. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, in the verse number 14, it says this. Here's the one time it's mentioned as the actual word. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider in heart. Backsliding has got to do with the heart, friend. The backslider in heart. Now, whilst it's true that backslider as a word is only mentioned once in our King James Authorized Version of the Scriptures, backsliding is mentioned a number of times. There are two books especially that is actually that word, backsliding, is mentioned. It's the book of Jeremiah. It's the book of Hosea. Turn to the book of Jeremiah now, and that's where we've been. In Jeremiah and in the chapter number 2. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, it says this, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. There's backsliding. In chapter 3, that we read in verse number 6, it says, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? And in verse 8, and in verse 11, and in verse 12, and in verse 14, and then verse 22 that we read, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. In chapter 5, verse 6. In chapter 14, verse 7. In chapter 31, verse 22. In chapter 49, verse 14. It all refers to backsliding, backsliding children, backsliding Israel. And then in the book of Hosea, in the book of Hosea chapter number 14, It says there in verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. And I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And it's also in Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, and in Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. What does this word backsliding mean, friend? The word means to go back, to turn back, or to turn away, or to turn around. A backslider is one who has begun the Christian life, but for some reason or other, friend, they have turned away. They have gone back. We were reading in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, this morning. And in that last verse of Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, the Holy Ghost put it like this. It said this, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He was plowing. But instead of looking ahead, he was distracted. He looked back. You remember way back there in Genesis chapter 19, it tells the story of Lot. And in that story of Lot, you remember the angel of the Lord came, for God was sending judgment to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And whenever the angel of the Lord spoke to Lot, in verse number 17, it came to pass when they were brought, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, that's the angel said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Look not behind him. What was the angel saying? You see, friend, let me tell you, there was ground to be covered. And the angel says, don't be diverted. Don't be diverted in your attention. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep going. There's ground to be covered. Time is running out. Escape for thy life. It was urgent to escape to the safe ground. Looking behind. Friend, let me tell you, you see, when you're looking behind, you're not watching at the obstacles that are before you. And you can trip over them. And looking behind, instead of allowing you to run with fervor and to progress with zeal, you are diverted. You're hindered in your progress. And that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants to hinder your progress. That's why he wants you, instead of going on with God, he wants you to get your eyes on other things. And the angel of the Lord said, look not behind you. Don't look back. And the Spirit of God says, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, there's a hindrance there. And you're in danger there. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul was thinking about his life, and as he reviewed his life in Philippians 3, he said these words concerning himself, because there's a personal testimony in Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. He said this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. There's an acknowledgement here. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he wasn't satisfied with his spiritual attainment. There are some people very self-satisfied, aren't they? There are a lot of God's people satisfied. And friend, they're stuck. They're stuck. And they're just satisfied where they are. They're not concerned about going on with God and progressing with God and getting up the mountainside with God and enjoying sweeter fellowship. Paul says, listen, I count not myself to have arrived. He was dissatisfied here. There was an acknowledgement. He acknowledges, of course, something else. Verse number 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Thank God he was satisfied with Christ. He wanted to know more about Christ. But he himself in his own spiritual life, he had not arrived. He desired more in his Christian experience. Is that you honestly this morning? Do you desire more in your Christian experience? Or do you think you've arrived? You're spiritual enough. You've grown enough. Paul said there's an acknowledgement here. I count not myself to have apprehended. But thank God there's an approach here. He says, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before. And Paul realized that he could get his eyes on the past. He needed to forget the things of the past. He needed to keep his eye on the future. He wanted to go on. And you know, there are some people and they're bound by their past. And the devil has bound you by your past failures, your past mistakes, your past sins, your past folly. And the devil wants you, friend, to be tied to your past. Let me tell you this. There's not a person in this house of God this morning. Every last one of us have a past. And you can either do what Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, and reach forth. Get your eyes on the future. Get your eyes on what the Lord wants to make you. And go on with him. Or the devil will tie you by the past and he'll make you miserable with the past. Thank God to hear is an advancement. Verse 14. I press toward the mark. You see, he wanted to advance. He wanted to go on with God. He wanted to advance spiritually. Is that not your desire this morning? Are you happy where you are spiritually? Are you really happy? Do you think you've arrived? Or do you desire more? Let me tell you, if you are a spiritual child of God, friend, you'll desire more. You'll want more. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word. Holy communion with my Lord. More. Oh, tell me more about Jesus. And if you're not, something seriously wrong, friend. Ask this question honestly before God. Are you going on? Are you really taking ground? Are you progressing in your spirituality? Or, friend, are you backslidden? Now, it's important to remember this, and I know time's quickly going. It's important to remember this fact if you're dealing with some backslider. It's remember a person who says they're a backslider. Remember this fact. That not everybody who professes to be backslidden or a backslider really are. Just remember that. Because some people who call themselves backsliders never started the journey. They're not backsliders at all. They're sinners. Because they were never saved. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Let me tell you, friend. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. And you know, some people hide behind this. And they're living in sin. And they don't want to be faced with the reality that they're in their sin and they're lost and they're away to hell. And so therefore what they do is this, they hold on to some profession. I made a profession. Friend, let me tell you, if that's all you made, You never funslid to backslide. You never were in Christ. Because if you're never born again of the Spirit of God, then you're not saved. And if you die today, you'll be in hell. And you're there forever. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. And this is what the Word of God says. 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2 in the verse number 19, just look at those words there. It says this: they went out from us, but they were not of us. Oh, they went out from us. They made a profession that they were in the family, but they weren't of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And friend, before God, there are those that are hiding under the title backslidden that are not backsliders at all. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling a parable. And he's telling the parable of the sower. And go to verse number 20, because of time it says this: he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself. He was not really saved. He was not genuinely born again of the Spirit of God. There was no root there. Yes, they made a profession. They received the word with joy. Yet he had no root in himself, endureth for a while. And when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And friend, before God, the first thing, if you're dealing with people and dealing with souls, you need to understand the state of that person before God. Are you dealing with a sinner that was never saved? Are you dealing with a backslider? And if they profess to be a backslider, then ask perhaps a few questions. And in no time, we're going to draw to a close and we'll continue it next Lord's Day. You ask them clearly when they trusted Christ as their Savior. And then ask them what resulted from that. And ask them how they walked with God. What was their walk with God from that night they made that profession of faith? Was there a walk with God? Was there a walking, a going on with God? Because you need to establish the fact, if that person's a backslider, having experienced God's grace in their life, and if they are, why would you ask them? I'll tell you why. Because you'll find out if the person's a genuine backslider, the very thing that led the person to backslide is usually the very thing that keeps them from coming back to God. That's why you need to find out where they left the Lord. Why they turned around. Why they turned away. Because I'll tell you this, if they're going to get back, every obstacle has to be removed if they're going to go on. And there's no use painting or covering over it, friend. If there's something that has happened in a person's life and they have turned away, then you have got to find out what it is. They have got to know. Because you'll find out often that's the very thing that's keeping them from coming back. That's the obstacle the devil's using. It was the thing the devil used to turn them away in the first place. And now the devil uses to keep them away from coming back to the place of fellowship O Israel, return unto me, ye backslidden children. Children. Next Lord's Day, as we come to deal with this, I want us to notice something else. Friend, backsliding just doesn't happen overnight. You'll find that there's a progression. It's a sliding. It's not a leap. Backsliding. And the devil's very subtle in it. It gets you start to slip. And perhaps you're not even knowing what's happening until you're back. You need to get back to the Lord today. Return, ye backsliding children. You're my child. That's what the Lord said. You're my child. Come on back to me. May God bring you back today. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this morning and we ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will deal with all of our hearts, that we might know our standing before thee. Help us not only not to fool somebody else, but O God our Father, help us from fooling ourselves. Help us to make that calling and election sure. We pray in Jesus' precious name that you'll take your children further with thee. O God, plant our feet on higher ground. Lord, we sang before we had the ministry of thy word this morning, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Help us to be honest before thee. May the searchlight of the Holy Spirit reach the very depths of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.